How are you?
just a never-ending nightmare. It's ridiculously hot. It's like swamp. How are you?
Not in a swamp, in my non-swampy house. That's not a swamp. That's probably pretty good, right? Like, as far as these things go.
That's no frogs, no leeches.
Yeah, no, so far there's one non-human animal in here, and I don't think he'd like a swamp either. I think Maze would handle a swamp very poorly.
You don't think he'd thrive there?
I think he'd get beat up by the amphibians. I think a frog would kick his ass.
Just kill Maze in a glory.
Yeah, it would take like 2 seconds. He would get ganged up on by some frogs and maybe, I don't know what else is in swamps, very large flies, and he would be deceased. There would be no more Maze.
I don't even like normal sized flies.
Yeah, they're pretty. I don't think anyone does. I think with the exception of Gregor Mendel, who did genetic sequencing or whatever to discover recessive genes. It wasn't genetic sequencing. That wasn't invented for forever. LL squares. With the exception of Gregor Mendel, nobody likes flies. And I don't even know if Gregor Mendel liked them or if he was just like, these are some weird looking dudes. So.
Gregor Mendel has a bunch of pet flies. It's like that gorillas in the mess, but with flies.
Yeah, just hanging out with his pea plants and his shit ton of flies. Those were probably the worst monkery to be in. Nobody wanted to be co-monks with Gregor Mendel. They were like, not the fly one, not that weirdo with all those flies. Can't he just love Jesus like the rest of us?
Stop being a nerd,
I hope he got beat up by the other monks. I hope the other monks were like shoved him in whatever the monk equivalent of a locker is.
outside the loving arms of whatever they pray to.
I mean, monks is usually God. That's kind of the idea of monks.
Wait, monks are God?
No, monks, okay. Sure, monks are God. That works for me. That's close enough. That's why Redwall Abbey was about a series of mice who are God. Yeah, neither of us are, I think, the most laser focused on comics we've ever been on this podcast.
Laser focused. I don't know if I've ever been
Yeah, no,
that.
I don't think our show has a reputation for being super fucking focused and responsible and careful in that way. I think we're more the mavericks of comics podcasts. If Ink Studs
Definitely.
is like the career detective who's like taking it day by day and just focuses on the case at the expense of their life outside of it, we're like the maverick gunslinging, yeah.
Just kick down doors and
Break
we
into
stop the
things.
case to get donuts or.
Yeah. Yeah, we believe in our instincts. We rely on our instincts for podcasting, and maybe crime solving.
How good are your instincts?
Not great. Not super reliable. Basically irresponsible, I would say. My instincts are to never do anything, and that's it. It's my instinctive way of being.
I feel you on that very hard.
Let me think though. What have you read things recently? Have you put any comics in your face lately, or none at all? Have you forgotten how to read? Because I
I'm
might have.
illiterate now.
Our podcast is going to have to take a sharp swerve in some direction because neither of us can read anymore.
There's still pictures, but there's no context to them or.
We not only can't read, we can't decipher sequences. We're consuming these images as if they were entirely contextless.
Isn't that the purest form of art?
Yeah, I'm pretty well, arguably, right? Certain notions of poetics hold that works of art constitute their own worlds. So we're just doubling down on that. That's why we forgot how to read, to be better at art criticism.
That's not professional, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we're the most dedicated kids in the game.
We forgot how to read for our podcast.
I've forgotten who I am. I've forgotten my name, everything I ever read, how to read, what reading is, all of it's gone. It's just images decontextualized, radically free of both authorial intention, political context, and literary history. It's all gone. It's just pictures, and I don't know what any of the objects in the pictures are. It's just colors. And forms and volumes on planes. And I don't know what any of those words are either. It's all. That's real deconstruction,
What have you done, other podcasters? What have you given up?
motherfuckers.
I've read many things.
What things have those been? What kinds of things?
I've been read and reading three comics, a lot of manga, and I've been reading The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Like a comic of it, or like just the book?
It's just the book, but it would make a good comic. No, it
I mean, maybe it's got a visual, a strong visual motif through it, which arguably is why it wouldn't make a good comic.
wouldn't.
That's a whole complicated, like, is the concept of image and the concept of appearance necessarily meaningfully different in a words only text?
Damn. Boom.
Yeah, this podcast is now my application letter to grad school.
Education, it's good for you. It'll totally help.
I mean, it's not gonna help with shit. It's just gonna make it so that I stop trapping random people I know and being like, "Have you heard the good word of formalism? Would you like to have an argument about it right now?" It's just gonna contain that antisocial impulse.
Oh, God. That sounds exactly like what growing young minds need is a intense series of mind fucks.
Although I should probably learn to care about things besides comics if I ever want to make
No.
anything of my life. All right, that's fair.
No. Come
Nah,
on.
fuck it. Fuck it. Yeah, so that's been I've been making myself a spreadsheet of all the programs I'm looking at, with like notes on how many languages I have to know to be considered for acceptance. It's so depressing. And then like whatever other weird shit is true about that program. It's not a very reliable spreadsheet. I'm not a very good spreadsheet maker. There's one column that is like question mark, question mark, question mark. Like, what else? What else do I have to say? Several of the text fields are just frowny faces for different schools. Where it's like language requirement, frowny face. I'm not gonna know what that means when I have to finalize where I'm applying to. I'll have no idea, but that's fine. That's fine. I'll know that I was sad about it.
It sounds like you're really good at spreadsheets.
I'm really evocative in my spreadsheets.
You should go into business and revolutionize board meetings with emotion spreadsheets.
Yeah, I get an MBA in emotions for business. Business emotions. I'm gonna learn programming and program a version of Excel where you can put in your various emojis and then do a formula to them to get the total emoji that summarizes the feeling of that column.
That's the $1 million idea.
Yeah, I'm gonna get.
I think you're gonna be okay.
Fuck having dreams and ambitions. I don't like it and I want it to stop. I was reading comics. What manga have you been reading?
The manga I've been reading is a Kami-sama. I feel like I've talked about it a lot. It's the Kami-sama no Itori. It's that one where there's a bunch of weird games and tests and challenges to decide who the new god is.
Aha, yeah. I remember you mentioning it. How's it fucking going?
It's reaching a climax, which is exciting. They're
Ooh.
playing a game of Old Maid up in the sky, but they have weird effect cards, and a lot of people are exploding. It's pretty good.
They're exploding from art, like for real, they're dead now. They just went from playing Old Maid.
If you draw this card, you die. That's one of them. it's great.
Wow. Yo, thinking of, I was flipping through various, this is like manga's weirdly gendered and it's funny. I was flipping through something, I think it was put out by Shoujo Beat, which was also like person has to become the new god. But in this case, it's because her dad left her with his gambling debts, so she has nowhere to go, and she has to like take over as the local spirit of a temple. And in doing so, she has to heal the heart of a fox spirit who's been performing all the temple duties. So she has to, and I only read standing in the aisle at my public library, looking surreptitious and trying not to be seen reading this clearly god-awful comic. I only read like the first half of the first volume. But I would bet it ends up being like a love triangle where she's like in love with the weird fox dude, and then also the previous god comes back, maybe, because they drew him super handsome and he like kissed her on the forehead to bequeath his godhood, so I bet he comes back. Or someone from her high school, maybe. I'm like 100% sure it turns into like a weirdo love triangle where she's trying to make the fox spirit love her and also be a mortal girl. So it's funny that like what's the deal with mortals becoming gods exists in these two very like formulaic and gendered contexts. I love it. That's the thing about market segmentation is you get some weird shit.
You got one for girls and you got one for boys. You got a shoujo eye, and then you got shonen manga.
Well, shoujo ai would be lesbians, and it's not that, unfortunately.
Sojourners. Oh shit! Yeah, I thought
This is
that.
lesbians.
Is it Is it like Shonen Magazine and Shonen Beat then, or is it like Beat Magazine?
Shoujo Beat is the Shoujo just means girls, so it's girls comics. But Shoujo Ai specifically is lesbians because it's girls in love with each other. Just as Shonen Ai is dudes doing it.
Learning something new every day.
That's my most useless gift to bequeath to you is
Now you know.
and knowing is half the battle. I mean, maybe someday that'll help you if you have like some reason to be purchasing any of those genres. You wouldn't want to confuse them for the others.
Oh, I've read them. I just
Yeah,
didn't know what they were called. Yeah, it's weird. When there's like two theories when it comes to manga and becoming gods. It's like you either have to kill everybody or you have to date God. And then God will be like, "You're cute. I like you. I have some powers." And then you're like, "I don't know about this God. This is moving a little fast." And God's just like, "Come on, move in." And then you become gods.
yeah, basically, the god kissed her on the forehead and disappeared irresponsibly. So she's gotta, perform some domestic rituals or whatever, and then maybe date god as well. Certainly date a god. There's gods enough for everyone to date. That's the advantage of polytheism. You can date so many gods.
Gods are the worst. They just take and take and take.
They act all high and mighty.
I've been rubbing taco sauce on my face.
How's that going for you?
I just realized that. I was like, why is my face hot? I was like, clearly, I'm in the prime of my life.
I'm pretty sure prime of your life is defined by how much taco sauce you rub on your face. You're not really living your best life till you've rubbed like a liter of taco sauce just straight into your pores. Various mucus ducts.
Yep. We did
That's what's replaced. Nobody says so wild oats anymore. They're all like, rub taco sauce into your eyes.
it.
That's what the kids are doing.
You gotta live life to the tacoist.
Yeah, it's sort of like when people were taking vodka shots through their eyes, but not.
Yeah, what is up with people putting things in their orifices?
Have no idea. It's not something I've ever really understood. In any context, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Orifices are for closing and keeping closed.
Eden privacy, you freaks.
Yeah, hide your shame. Hide your fucking shame.
Yeah, I read that thingy, and that's good. I read a manga about the unluckiest girl ever, and she is somehow cursed, and she rents an apartment that happens to be occupied by yokai, who
Oh,
come and try and
no.
scare her, and she's like, "My life's really bad, you guys." And the yokai are like, "Oh, we can't scare you." But she gets surprised, and then all her negative energy comes out, and the demons eat it, and they're like, "Your negativity is delicious. You can stay here rent-free. Just like, keep excreting your negative energy if you can."
Wow. All right. Okay. Is that like, is the story as it is just bad things happen to her and the yokai are like, this is great. What a good time. Is that the.
They actively, at first, they're like, "We're gonna try and scare you." And then they realize making her happy surprises her because she's never been happy before. So now these demons are trying to make her happy And it just ends in all sorts of shenanigans.
What are they going to do when she's accustomed to a life of relatively less misery? Are they going to flip and start tormenting her?
That's a good question.
I'm just curious about the demonic logistics.
Probably, honestly.
I don't think all manga spend enough time really thinking through the exact logistics of their premises. That's what I would like to see in more comics, is tedious considerations of logistics.
Yeah, they're just slapping notes together and ideas.
Yeah. Just like, oh, let's make the plot work, or let's do something interesting. No, I want to see you take a logical idea through to its conclusion.
Yeah, please make sense. Just don't go to manga for sense. It won't. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, no, of course not. Absolutely not.
I did get a bunch of comics that I'm gonna send you, but I think one of them you like, I think a lot. And the other one you might be like, what is this?
I do say what aloud a lot. That's an increasing fact in my life when I encounter things. So it's very possible. I have comics that I'm sure I have comics I was thinking of sending you, but I don't remember which ones they are now. So you'll be as surprised as I am when that comes together. Because I've been sort of occurring comics haphazardly. Mostly, I have been reading. I feel like I say this every time, and I always pretend like it's a novelty, but I've just been reading garbage fucking high school romance comics. Again, still, eternally. It's because I read them while I'm editing podcasts, and I had two super long podcasts to edit. I still haven't really edited one of them. My two Mile Wide Club episodes that ran 2.5 hours each, which is a lot.
Yo.
That's many hours. I don't think even we've done one that long. And some of our early episodes were ridiculous. So I just read fucking teen romance manga while editing those, and when I like get bored enough that I stop paying attention to the podcast at all and I'm just reading the manga, I'm like, oh, I better go edit that part. The system works. But I also have an unfortunate tendency, because of who I am as a person, which is regrettable, to like get really caught up in the second half of it. Like the first half, I'll just be like, this is another dumb premise, or be like sort of meta thinking about where this comic fits into my understanding of like socialization as a learning process, as I think it exists in shoujo manga. And then in the second half, I'll just be like, they're so in love. So it's not great. And these things are so fucking long that like reading one of them takes forever, even if I'm not doing much besides reading it and editing the podcast. But I
Love
read,
is long-winded.
yeah, it takes for fucking ever. They all need to chill. They all need to just chill the fuck out. Just date someone like a normal goddamn person and simmer your shit. That is probably hypocritical of me. But I'm not wrong, so it's fine. Yeah, but I read most of Princess Jellyfish, which is not a high school manga. It is. Actually, I guess neither of the ones that I've read recently have been high school. They've both been like college and post college, which is somehow worse. But Princess Jellyfish is pretty famous for the anime. But it's like it's this house of fucking nerds. none of whom have proper jobs, and all of whom are weird fucking nerds. And one of them is a jellyfish obsessive. She's the main character. One of them is obsessive about trains. One of them is obsessive about Romance of the Three Kingdoms. One of them is obsessive about old men. Just really loves old men. Just thinks old men are super hot. And that's, they live as, they call themselves nuns. And they live in this super old house. And the plot happens when the cross-dressing heir to a political family, he's not the heir, he's the illegitimate son of the sort of patriarch of the political family, and his uncle's the prime minister, and his dad's a cabinet secretary, and his older brother is going into cabinet work, work in the diet, and he has, so he's like, my mom was, you know, the mistress of my dad, and I just hang out, and we're pretty close, and party, and he stumbles into their nunnery, and it's like, everybody gets fucking makeovers, and the plot proper is, there's a development company that his family is sort of working with to redo the area, so the very cheap house that these weirdos have been living in is going to get bulldozed and built over, and he is slowly falling in love with the jellyfish nerd, and they're like fighting to save the house by fashion design. Like, he is designing dress. I'm making this plot so much more complicated than it is.
It sounds fraught with tension.
It's full. I am skimming details off the top here. But the heir, he's not the heir, he's the heir figures in this, but he's not the point right now. The younger brother, the illegitimate son, is sewing dresses and like having dresses sort of sewn by everyone in the house, based on the drawings of jellyfish that the main character does, because she's super obsessed with jellyfish and also sad because her mom's dead. That's her central plot bit, is like, she's obsessed with jellyfish in part because she loves them, and in part because her mom took her to see the jellyfish and was like, someday you'll have a dress beautiful like these jellyfish, and she fixates on it. And adventures happen, and romantic entanglements ensue, and people meditate about what beauty means, and fashion industry expectations of women. And the bit when I gave up was an extremely tedious part about, like, the actual cost of having clothing manufactured in India. They were just like, let's add some realistic detail, and it's not all that realistic, where they, like, find a import goods business to try to get their clothing based on these dresses manufactured for purchase, and they're like going through the logistics of becoming a fashion brand, but fraught with romantic misunderstandings. And I was like, "That's fine, quit. Enough is enough. Bye." And I tried really hard to get the internet to spoil it for me, because I do that when I'm invested in a plot, but I also don't want to read it anymore. But I couldn't find anything that would actually goddamn spoil the ending. The wiki is like, we don't want to spoil it, but here's, like, the romantic tension comes to a head. I'm like, of course it does. I just want to know how it ends. Just resolve it for me. I don't want to read another 10 goddamn chapters of these people futzing around about if they're getting married or not. Shut up and tell me the ending. So.
You wouldn't want to skip to the ending? Just
read
the last chapter?
I won't know the plot bits in between if I do that. I want the whole thing spoiled. I just want to read a bullet-pointed summary of every chapter. And yeah, I also don't especially want to read the last chapter, because I'm really done with this comic. I just want someone to tell me exactly what happens. Because I know the anime ends differently, because they, like, have a fashion show and save the house, and in the comics, they have a fashion show, but it's not enough to save the house. So I don't know what happens. And I need someone to read it. If anyone out there in listener land has read all of Princess Jellyfish, you can find my email and just contact me about that. Please.
Send an email to Fiona, please.
Yeah.
Don't.
Just list it out for me because I don't want to read it anymore. It's a good comic. Sort of. It is, but I got really bored. I want it to be like 10 chapters shorter. That's my ambition for that. Just like four fewer major plot twists. We just knock out like four of them. Pick any
Yeah.
four, get rid of them.
Tighten it up.
Yeah. Then the other one I read that was no good. Oh no, do I even remember what it was called? I only read it like 3 days ago, so it's not great if I have no idea. It was like I'm not even gonna try. Because it's so formulaic. There is no sense in me going through this experience with you or describing it. Because it doesn't matter. It could be anyone. It could be any goddamn comic. They're all the same. And I read so many of them. I mean, they all actually have important and meaningful differences. If you buy into certain fanish notions, or if you take meaningful pleasure, as I suspect many fans do, in the different combinations of the expected character types and the expected the sort of fine-grain interactions of like this is the expected plot moment, but how is it going to play out with this specific combination of archetypes with these specific details? Like I understand, and that's probably why I like it. Is like playing out these formulas, but in this like slightly different or slightly specific way. But also, it's the exact goddamn same as all the rest of them, and I have to stop. I have to stop.
But some of them have black hair and some of them have pink hair. And so there's tsundere and whatever.
Well, some of them are cheerful and outgoing, and some of them are glum. And others of them appear cheerful and then are angry in their heart. And it all matters. I've been reading actual books, which is part of why I haven't been making time to think seriously about comics or read any difficult comics, is I've been like reading theoretical texts on literary criticism and shit. So I've been like phoning it the fuck in terms of comics. I'm like, no, I'm not going to try. I don't want to try. No more trying. I
You
quit.
can't stop trying. You try so hard.
I mean, I have sort of stopped trying. I have a couple of it's sort of a pile up actually of like proper thoughtful indie comics that are like good and valuable that I've just been not reading in favor of pouring garbage into my face on webtoons.
I feel you. I've been looking at this copy of Living and Dying, and I'm just like, do I want it?
Yeah.
Adrian Tomei is great, but sometimes I just want to see a slug kiss a duck, or like, I don't know, just some weird. I don't need things to be sad all the time, or like have emotional context. I could just want to see people have dumb feelings and not like complicated ones.
I was thinking about this as I walked past a film marquee for Woody Allen's latest bunch of hog fucking wash. Where I'm like, you know what? The grinding ennui of nothing being quite wrong, but it never being good enough, or something being categorically wrong, but it's irresolvable and one continues to live, has a place, I guess. But sometimes we have to get on with our goddamn lives. And instead read a webcomic about a werewolf that's in love with his next door neighbor. Just as a hypothetical, for instance. That's not hypothetical and refers specifically to a comic I've been reading.
I can't believe the fact that that exists sort of restores my faith in the world.
Oh man, let me fucking tell you. It's so bad. It's called Super Secret. And she's cute and useless, and has grown up next door to this werewolf who doesn't want her to know he's a werewolf. And his older sister is a witch, and his whole family has various magical afflictions or whatever, and he definitely doesn't have a crush on her at all. He just, like, takes care of her and cleans her room and, like, picks out her outfits for her sometimes, because she's, like, literally a child, which is kind of fucked up. I mean, she's not literally a child. She's figuratively literally a child. They're the same age, but she's, like, such a baby. Like, and I can't judge that, because I clearly don't clean my home or dress well often. And I would rather sleep than do anything on this benighted, blighted fucking earth. But... you know, in her case, it's portrayed as, like, it's funny, she's clumsy and goofy, and in my case, it's just like, what's the point? But,
More stains, less werewolves. That's my life.
Yeah. But they have, like, a very classic, and by classic, I mean formulaic, like, do they have a crush on each other that they're denying, or are they just childhood friends, or what's going on? And then another werewolf, who's a purebred werewolf, which is apparently a meaningful distinction in this idiot goddamn world, starts dating the girl next door, and she's like, okay, this seems fine, even though, I don't know, maybe. Because she's very passive about it. And then her next door neighbor starts dating her best friend as some sort of passive-aggressive revenge. And then...
that always works.
Yeah, it's super good. Super fucking successful. And they have a whole thing about that where she's like, oh, no, it's all fine. And then he's like being passive aggressive. And he's allergic to the stronger wolf, I guess, because that's how wolves fucking work. So he gets stuck transforming into his super massive werewolf self. And he keeps getting trapped in her room as a werewolf. And he keeps breaking in.
Wait, what?
So he keeps breaking into her home for reasons that fucking elude me. I'm sure it's explained in the plot, but who fucking knows? But then he, like, is allergic to the wolf smell that she has on her from dating the stronger werewolf that she doesn't know any of them. She doesn't know werewolves exist. So he keeps getting stuck in her room and then transforming into his giant wolf self, and she walks in and she's like, it's a dog! And then he has to persuade her that he's just some random talking dog, and that her neighbor, and it's a whole fucking... I'm describing it like it's so exhausting, but it's like a dumb comic that updates like 2 pages a week and is like charming and whimsical, but it's such a weight on my soul.
Whimsy hurts. Whimsy hurts you.
I just need the plot to come to a timely resolution. As much as I'm, like, anti-plot in experimental works, or at least I allege to be, that's my dark secret, is I fucking love events happening. just love sequences of events unfolding, and all of these fucking romance comics are deliberately meandering, or at least deliberately convoluted. They have a particular pacing to them, which is not the same thing as MacLeod and Gorenstein's weird. Well, in the Orient, they don't think of time the same way, so there's no plot. I'm like, that's not true. Shut up. Yeah, it's grim. It's bad. There may
Thanks.
be some things that could be done with an understanding of the different kinds of narrative and kinds of visualization of panels that have evolved in different specific genres. But when you look at something like, I don't know, Dragon Ball Z, and you look at something like Superman, the way that time and space relate as sequential images is basically similar. You're looking at something different when you look at any romantic soap opera as a tie. It doesn't matter. This werewolf will never end. These fucking werewolves. They have destroyed me. I am undone. I am a shell of a man because this werewolf who's in college won't just date his best friend. And I need this plot to come to a conclusion because I'm tired of reading it, but I can't stop.
You're experiencing Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome would involve less resentment. It's when you come to sympathize with your captors.
Wow.
Yeah, so I gotta like block webtoons on my browser, I think, because I've lost control of my life.
It might be time to. Webtoons is just crack. It's just crack for procrastination because so many awful comics on there that make no sense and are just fun enough to read that you can spend like, I'm gonna read this one thing, and then it's like, I read so much of this. Why? Why?
Yeah, it's a disaster. You can just keep putting it in your face forever. There's so much content on that content aggregator, and you can just keep putting it in your face until you fucking die. I feel like I'm kind of gonna become a mummy just sitting at my laptop reading these goddamn. I'm just gonna like desiccate out like a fucking silicon packet.
Don't become a
I
mummy.
mean. Let me think. What else exists in the world? I feel like I had some things that I was like excited about in the world of comics. But they have all been wiped away by the relentless sea of webtoons. My awareness of the world of sophisticated indie comics is like fragile sandstone. And webtoons is a thunderous crashing ocean. It's not even that. That's not fair. That implies that it's some sort of loud and intrusive thing rather than the gentle but constant lapping of the waves on the beach. It's not forceful, but it's eternal and it will erode everything in its path.
Erosion. Yep.
Where once perhaps my mind was farmland, where gardens of insight in comics could have grown, now there is only webtoons. But it's fine. I did read the first issue of this comic called The Private Report on My Lesbian Experience with Loneliness. Which was fucking depressing.
That title sounds very sad.
Yeah. It seems to mostly be this lady has dropped out of college and is very sick, has some kind of immune thing, as well as being super depressed and having an eating disorder, and also is gay. And the first issue, which is about 20 pages, 24 pages ish between those numbers, is just her talking about being miserable and not having the ability to sustain a job because she's sick and miserable. And then also it cold opens in media res, as we were discussing earlier, with her having hired a lesbian prostitute. And then it's like, record scratch. You're probably wondering how I got here.
That sounds amazing.
It's like a couple of pages it's a couple pages of her looking at this lady with fear and terror in her eyes. And then it's like, here's how I got here. Misery. It's just misery. Life is misery. And that's the comic. Although maybe the second volume takes a turn and maybe it's like, it's fine if you find a way. I only read the first one, so far it's just suffering.
I'm interested in that one. I'll probably try and get that because you can't have too much loneliness.
I think that is the opposite of the moral of that story, which is you can and it sucks. It doesn't seem like it's really cool and fun how I was miserable and sick all the time. It seems like this was bad and I didn't know how to fix it. But you know, that comic exists. That comic is real. One can read it. So, man, I gotta read pleasant things. Or perhaps not. I don't know if the romance comics I've been reading are too blandly pleasant and that's the problem, or if I need to read things that are actually... I don't know how to fix my reading habits. They are irreparably broken. I feel like that turned into like an aggressive monologue. And I feel bad about that. But not that bad. Because that's my brand. So have you been reading other things? Doing other things? Living a secret double life? Any of the above?
Anything. I have read some other things. My life is still very bland, and yeah, I'll just tell you what I read first. I finally read the Fantasy Sports Ball.
Oh yeah, how's that?
It's really fun. It's very colorful. It's like all the classic RPG fantasy adventures. There's a guild. But there's sports too, so they're dungeon hunters who always end up playing sports, it seems like. But they're mystical fantasy sports, like they play basketball against the mummy in the first one.
That's delightful.
It's very cute. It's really fun. I'm gonna send that your way. The art is very Rebecca Sugar. It's very like... That's a poor.
That's level. By Sam Bosma, right?
Sam Bosma.
Yeah. So when you say Rebecca Sugary, what do you mean?
The faces are really expressive. There's a lot of facial reactions more than talking. Mm-hmm. The landscapes that are painted are very like, oh, pink sky. To show that it's calm, or like really dark, shadowy stuff for dungeons. Eloquence is not my thing.
So there's like an emotional landscape, or the landscape reflects the emotional situation.
Yes.
Nice. And there's basketball with a mummy?
There's basketball with a mummy. There's a lot of sparkles, which is very, it's very cute. It's like cute in a tough way. It juxtaposes the sort of fantasy. It's like it's a comedy, but it's also a dungeon crawler book.
So maybe manages to balance being a comedy with providing some of the same excitement and world building that one would expect from a fantasy comic. Does that
Yeah.
sound approximately right?
Yeah, that's what that sounds good.
I guess if you had a takeaway on it, I don't know. I've been watching a lot of fucking Monster Factory, so I'm like, what's the rating? What do we rate it? But that's not our system. We're not a rating podcast. We just expressively flail.
Takeaway from it. Sports are hard. Sports are hard. You got to believe in yourself. Teamwork is important.
Is
Don't
it?
judge a mommy by its cover.
Is teamwork important, really,
I don't. I
though?
feel like that's not what you meant, though.
Teams are bad. No, that's fine. That's valuable. I always appreciate it when people summarize the moral for me.
It deserves the nomination. It does. It's good.
Nice. Hell yeah. Yeah, SPX is coming up, so the actual awards are going to be happening probably by the time this is up. By which I mean definitely by the time this is up, given what I know about myself and women write about comics. Definitely by the time this is up, the actual awards will have gone out, so we'll know if it has been duly anointed.
Everyone will be crowned and decked in gold leaflets.
Given a brick, which is what the Ignatz Award is. Every year post Ignatz, I love seeing all the comics about people who are trying to explain their brick to the airport, where they're like, no, there's a reason I own this brick now. I'm not just trying to bring a brick on the plane. I don't understand why they don't just mail themselves the brick. That seems easier.
I mean, they don't want to let it go.
Yeah.
It's a sign that they've come in to their own.
It's true.
Other than that, I read Tomboy.
Oh, by Liz Prince, right?
I think so. Yeah.
It's a graphic memoir, kind of cutesy, like cutesy drawing, cutesy. It's not really cutesy, but it's like cute. Is that a description of the book that fits what you recall of it?
I think I read a different Tomboy, because in this one, there's mafia murders.
Oh, no, very different then. I should not assume.
It
I thought you would read the Liz Prince one. I was like, that's a lot of character. He doesn't normally go for that kind of like graphic memoir-y shit, but I was willing to believe it.
I can change. I might check that
I don't necessarily advocate it. I like Liz Prince, but I'm not reading it. So tell me about the Tomboy you read.
Oh. Tomboy is a young girl who is going out for a date with her boyfriend, but the date gets cut off by his brutal murder that happens a little bit before because his dad's a detective who had a floppy disk that the other corrupt politicians and cops were looking for, so they kill that guy and his son. And the girl is obviously bereaved, and she overhears two guys on a bus talking about murdering, her boo. So she dons a mask and beats them to death with a hockey stick. And from there, she goes to her grandpa, and she's like, "Grandpa, I murdered people." And the grandpa's like, "I'm gonna train you." And then from there, it's basically like kick ass, but from the perspective of the head girl or whatever. It's by Action Lab Comics, and it's like there's a lot of weird stuff about death and like seeing people who have died around you. And whenever she goes into a murderous rage, she transforms into like a one of those magical girls.
That's a very different comic than Liz Prince's autobiography.
Yeah, it's very different.
That makes so much more sense as something you would read. I was so surprised, and then this is exactly like if someone engineered a comic to your interests. This is pretty close.
Yeah, this was made for me pretty much.
Is it working out? Do you like it as well as it hitting a number of your relevant interest boxes?
It fills my interest box. Like, I'll probably continue it for a while. I don't think it's well written. I do like the sort of magical realism of it.
Uh-huh.
With the everybody talks to dead people they loved, but it's not like just her, it's everybody. Everybody's talking to ghosts for some reason, and it's heavy-handed and sort of like, come on, but it's also cute.
Nice.
I'd give it like 7 stars.
Oh, are we doing rankings now? Are we doing ratings? That's good.
Bringing back stars.
That's a retro.
Yeah. Bard is good.
Nice. Sometimes that's what counts. Often that's what counts. Let's be real. It's what's most important. I'm, like, glancing at the preview pages of it online now, and I do like this art a lot. It is balancing a line between sort of precious and expressive in a way that is really fun to look at, and I like the colors. It's a little bit like, how far can we push the concept of pastel without breaking down the atmosphere? I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of gore.
Very important, very useful, very eternally relevant. Who doesn't love mega murders? I feel like I should have more things to say than that, or like useful questions, but I really don't. Not just because Maze has made a surprise guest appearance and is now oppressing me, although certainly that is distracting. I guess, do we have something to wrap up the podcast on? I'm probably gonna just call that at, like, we read some stuff, good for us.
That sounds beautiful. What kind of pizza do you think I should use to, represent my feelings?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I just am thinking about kinds of pizza I want to eat, which is not the same thing as pizzas that would represent your feelings.
just like a give me like a suggestion.
I mean, olives is always, that's to me the perfect pizza topping for emotionality. Like olives and sun-dried tomatoes is like, that's the real feelingsy shit.
You're right.
I always think feelings Mediterranean pizza. That's the, like, the most, like, Greek bullshit you can pile on there. Just eat all of that and eat your feelings with it.
And I'm, like, self-destructive. It's always a Hawaiian pizza.
Is something about pineapple especially self-destructive-y?
It's just, like, it's the perfect mix of, like, this is sweet, but it's also salty. Now you dip this.
right, I'm going to call the podcast on that note. Thanks for listening, everybody. We are The Trades. You can find us on Facebook at The Trades Podcast. You can listen to us at thetrades.podomatic.com if that's not already how you're listening to this. Awesome. That's it. Be safe. Thanks. Bye.